And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast, a podcast in which we are committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people directly to you. So you can listen to them as they comment not only on our culture, but how we as Christians can make a difference while there is yet time. In this particular edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast, I want to talk about the Christian Research Journal because we have developed a particular journal in which you can find everything necessary to know about the cult of wokeism. That from the woke revolution that threatens to overturn Western civilization, to the Marxist oppression dichotomy, to kids as key targets of the revolution, and extremism as the new normal. I want to start by quoting something that I have quoted in venues around the world, quite frankly, something that is impressed on the very canvas of my consciousness, something said by Karl Marx, something that has an impact in terms of what is taking place in the heart of Western civilization. Karl Marx said this. He said, "Religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature. It is the heart of a heartless world, the soul of soulless conditions. It is the opium of the people." And therefore, Karl Marx called for the abolition of religion. He said that the abolition of religion as the illusory happiness of the people is the demand for their real happiness. To call on them to give up their illusions about their condition is to call on them to give up a condition that requires illusions. The criticism of religion is therefore in embryo, the criticism of that veil of tears of which religion is the halo. Well, in concert with the Karl Marx dictum, America is in the midst of a woke worldview war, in the midst of an uprising against the Judeo-Christian ethic. We are experiencing an insidious revolt that many Christians have a hard time wrapping their minds around, and therefore we are making available an issue of the Christian Research Journal that you can not only read for yourself, but an issue that you can buy in bulk and give to others who are blind to the revolution that is taking place beneath their very noses. A woke worldview war that is being waged against you, your children, in fact, against the very soul of Western civilization. Now, I'm going to put a link on how you can receive multiple copies of the Christian Research Journal. You'll find that in the description section. Well, let me start with the woke worldview. It's important to understand that it is a comprehensive worldview. Merriam-Webster, for example, defines woke as being aware of and actively attentive to important societal facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice. Well, in the denotative sense, the definition is proper and right. However, what Merriam-Webster and neo-Marxist revolutionaries mean by being awake to issues of racial and social justice is far removed from the positive aspects of a genuine Great Awakening. As Douglas Grootheis makes plain in an essay titled "Critical Race Theory According to Woke Orthodoxy," America is systematically racist in principle and in practice. And therefore, justice demands that our national constitution be replaced by an anti-racist socialist system. A system in which diversity, inclusion, and equity is mandated from the top down without respect to individual ability, private property rights, or the positive possibilities of a genuinely free market. Moreover, in accordance with woke ideology, white people, particularly heterosexual white males, are seen to be the oppressors. And a primary target of their alleged oppression is transgenderism. In the illusory woke worldview, boys can transition into girls and vice versa. And as such, the gods of wokeism attempt to take what the Almighty has made and remake it. They engage in top and bottom surgeries, fully cognizant of the reality that there is much that their surgical savageries cannot extend to. The dirty little secret, veiled in woke speak, is that pseudo-deities are impotent to change biological sex on a cellular level, that the human brain is a sex-typed organ, and that there are inalterable biological differences in how male and female brains are wired. In Gender Ideology's attack on our humanity, Dr. J. Richards points to the reality that our bodies are not only organized for physical reproduction, but that human beings are by nature both physical and metaphysical, not merely material and not merely spiritual, not half material and half spiritual, both at one and the same time. We are neither upright apes nor ghosts in meat suits. We are by nature embodied persons. We are by design body-soul unities. While philosophical naturalists flatly deny the existence of the immaterial soul, cultural narratives continue to pay lip service to its reality. In evidence, highly touted Olympian superstar Bruce Jenner actually told ABC's Diane Sawyer that he is, in his soul, a woman. Consequently, he felt obliged to alter his male body, to conform it to what he perceived to be his female soul. As Benjamin Cabe elucidates in a very insightful article in this journal, an article titled "The Inner and Outer Man, How Historical Christian Anthropology Addresses Transgenderism," Bruce would change his name to Caitlin, use she, her pronouns, begin publicly presenting as a woman, would start hormone therapy, and then eventually move on to full cosmetic transition, which is shorthand for undergoing a series of serious surgeries, penectomy, removal of his testicles, breast augmentation, and much more. And all of that to transform his original male body into an approximation of a female body to match his, quote-unquote, female soul. Well, in actuality, there is no such thing as a female soul. As Cabe elucidates, the soul itself is sexless. The human being, as body and soul in unity, is made up of the sexed body and the sexless soul. And this, of course, has been the consensus patrum from the early stages of Christianity onward. Historical Christian anthropology precludes the very possibility that the internal, subjective, immaterial aspect of the human being is gendered at all, let alone capable of reflecting the opposite sex or gender of the body. Ontologically, in terms of nature or essence, it is not possible to be a man trapped in a female body or vice versa. As you read, and hopefully reread, this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, there are three salient facts that I want you to keep foremost in your mind. Number one, The woke worldview finds its roots in a contrived Marxist oppression dichotomy. Two, in concert with previous insurrections, kids are the key targets. And number three, extremism is now the new normal. So first, a few words about the oppressor dichotomy. In the Marxist revolution, society was divided into two primary categories: bourgeoisie oppressors and the proletariat oppressed. Bourgeoisie oppressors, according to Karl Marx, surreptitiously employed religion to trap the proletariat masses in an illusory prison of happiness. With venomous disdain, he dubbed religion the sigh of the oppressed creature, the illusory happiness of the people, and then maliciously demanded that religion be abolished. Neo-Marxism is bent on taking this Marxist maxim to unthinkable extremes. As Noelle Mehring explains in her very profound article titled Three Dogmas of Wokeism, The Path to Authoritarianism, to be woke is to experience liberation from both external oppressions, such as cisgender normativity, and from the internalized repression of self due to the taboos of an arbitrary moral law. Belief in God is believed to be the apex of oppression and thus becomes the ultimate target of the woke revolution. Little wonder, then, that the pseudo-gods of wokeism seek to remake society as well as the persons that inhabit it in the image and likeness of their own perverse proclivities. Next, a word about kids. Make no mistake, kids are the primary target of leftist woke revolutionaries, which is a chilling reminder, at least for me, I've been to Cambodia many times, of what happened there a scant 50 years ago. In concert with the tactics of the Khmer Rouge, kids are being taught to deny God and to disdain their heritage. In Christian Parenting and the Perils of Public School Education, Matthew Kennedy underscores the sad reality of what is happening with respect to kids. Public school systems across the United States are adopting curricula, communicating ideas intrinsically antithetical to Christianity. Examples include school-sponsored drag shows, sexually explicit library books. Not only that, the radicalization in which America and its history is being reframed. And that's just the tip of a catastrophic iceberg. In the words of Jay Richards, children are being taught that they can be born in the wrong body, and doctors are treating this condition with sterilizing drugs and surgeries on minors. The so-called gender-affirming care reveals this ideology for what it truly is. It is the greatest assault on human nature, on our maleness and femaleness, that has ever been devised or even imagined. And adding insult to injury, woke authorities seem bent on stoking the inferno. As Bethany Mandel and Carol Markowitz hauntingly put it in their must-read book, Stolen Youth, adults in position of power in schools, medical and psychiatric settings, and the media are throwing kindling on the fire. It's the kindling the situation in such a way that you're giving a knife to a girl who is cutting and then telling her it's a healthy way to express her feelings. Or conversely, telling a girl struggling with an eating disorder that she does indeed look fat in those jeans and should purge to try to lose a few pounds. Again, they have eloquently pointed out that this is like throwing gas on an inferno. For all intents and purposes, the so-called experts are turning our kids into experimental rodents in a medical bonanza that guarantees that they're going to be patients for life. It's like a horror movie with mad scientists experimenting on hapless victims. Only those victims are our children, our kids, kids emblematic of the bleak future, an increasingly woke West. Finally, I want to say something about extremism. Because if woke revolutionaries revel in anything, it is in their extremism. Early in the educational process, children are introduced to the gender unicorn, a seemingly endearing character that cleverly undermines basic biology as it guides impressionable kids through a subjective process of sex selection, taking such extremist tactics to an even more alarming level. The NEA, the National Education Association, has overwhelmed constituents with demonstrably false narratives on tropes ranging from white supremacy to critical race theory, and of course, the ubiquitous 1619 Project. Adding to the extremism, the American Library Association offers workshops with an equity, diversity, an inclusion theme that includes creating queer, inclusive elementary school library programming, developing an online face for a lesbian Pulp Fiction whole collection, and drag queen story times in libraries. Meanwhile, publishers have gotten in on the zealotry by peddling the pornographic. Lion Forge, for example, now markets such disturbing drivel as genderqueer, while the perverse content of which is far too graphic to comment on. It's not just that. It's not just that smut is being peddled. Educational extremists are bent on banning classics that range from Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat to Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. And adding to the extremism in education are expressions of extremism in the environmental industry. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, who is the queen of queer, and not only of queer, but far-left advocacy, has taken environmental extremism to a whole new level. On January 21, 2019, she predicted that the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. Well, for his part, Al Gore adds to the hysteria. Here's a former U.S. vice president turned global warming guru who is so extreme it is hardly expressible. So extreme, in fact, that he designated global warming the single greatest threat facing our planet. While he was promoting his documentary, which is now famous, titled An Inconvenient Truth, what he actually did was falsify facts, falsify figures to bolster the palpably convenient untruth that planet Earth would reach a point of no return by the year 2016. What is that now? About 7 years ago. But nevertheless, Ellen Goodman of the Boston Globe puts those who are skeptical of people like Al Gore or AOC, well, puts those in the category of Holocaust deniers. And then there is prominent Baptist pastor Oliver Buzz Thomas, who has gone so far as to castigate spiritual leaders for failing to urge followers to have smaller families in view of extremist environmental expectations. Here's what he said. We must stop having so many children. Clergy should voice the difficult truth that having more than two children during such a time as this is selfish. As significant as all these voices are, none of them has been able to conjure up the emotional traction of teenage eco-extremist Greta Thunberg. And that by design. I say that because woke warriors, by design, are enlisting kids into their extremist agenda, knowing full well that in our politically correct culture, few are brave enough to take an intellectual shot at a kid, especially a kid given a platform at the United Nations, designated Time Magazine's Person of the Year, I think that was 2019, and nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, not just once, but multiple times. And thus, when Greta made the extremist declaration that the entire ecosystems are collapsing, we are in the beginning of mass extinction, and then punctuated her remarks with the excoriation, "How dare you?" Debate was effectively disarmed. Would that skepticism, as Richards once quipped, would rise as rapidly as sea levels on planet Al Gore. Would that people would wake up to the reality that woke warriors have mastered the art of mining the subjunctive, of becoming adept at cultivating the seed of threat buried inside each unrealized instance. Would that we develop a healthy skepticism toward shop-worn monikers such as scientific consensus. As Dario Fernandez Moreira wisely advised, we must be ever wary of stakeholder interests and incentives. Interests and incentives that affect the research of academics in the humanities and perhaps even more than those in the sciences. Perhaps it has to do with what psychologists call motivated blindness, which inhibits an individual's ability to perceive inconvenient data. Perhaps it has to do with the innocence of the intellectuals. Or perhaps it is simply the result of shoddy research by a number of university professors, repeated by many journalists. But whatever the motivation, it is imperative that we master discernment skills in the face of environmental extremism. And as with educational and environmental extremism, entertainment venues now revel in extremism as well. You have to think no farther than outlets such as Disney, the Cartoon Network, or Nickelodeon, all of which have collectively taken woke narratives to unimaginable extremes. The Disney Junior series Muppet Babies, and this is for children 4 years old and up, featured one of its characters, Gonzo, dressing up in a ball gown and then transforming into Gonzarella. For its part, Cartoon Network is bent on providing programming unapologetically aimed at redefining traditional gender roles for children. And Nickelodeon? Well, Nickelodeon brazenly featured an animated pride parade led by American drag queen and activist Nina West. In their chapter titled "When Mickey and Scholastic Went Woke," Mandel and Markowitz asked the operative question, how does the most wholesome, family-friendly entertainment company, talking about Disney, beloved for multiple generations, go completely off the rails? I suppose Alexander Solzhenitsyn, commenting on the Marxist Revolution, provides the unforgettable response. Men have forgotten God. That's why all of this has happened. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Make sure you get your copy of the Christian Research Journal. Get multiple copies for other people. Be informed on the woke worldview that threatens to derail Western civilization, on the oppression-oppressor false dichotomy, on kids as the main target of this revolution, and extremism as the new normal. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more of Hank Unplugged.